The following programming is sponsored by Don Beischel. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Don Beischel, Jr., and we're here as we are every Friday at noon to talk to you about issues that involve the conservative movement here in America. And we like to, you know, hit as many topics as we possibly can. So this portion of the show, of course, is brought to you by Salvatore's Cucina at 1150 Bristol Oxford Valley Road in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And Sal's number is 215-547-7000. And Sal's establishment is a BYOB place, so it's a great place to bring a bottle of wine, take your wife or your significant other there, and have a great dinner. I highly recommend, I always get the chicken vodka, so it's a chicken parm in a vodka sauce with penne, so you have to definitely try that out. So first of all, I want to give you our call-in number today. It is 888-329-3306, and I'd love that for you to call in today so we could talk about some of the topics that we're going to be hitting on. As you know, usually every Friday at noon, we have Senator Doug Mastriano on, who is currently running for governor for the state of Pennsylvania. However, today he will not be on because he's at a rally in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida. Governor DeSantis is up here to help Doug raise some money to become the next governor of Pennsylvania, and it's always great to have a fellow conservative stepping up to help the cause. So I wish the senator well. I'm sure he'll knock it out of the park like he always does, and I'm sure Governor DeSantis will give him another boost that, you know, quite frankly, he doesn't have, because because quite honestly, we have such a movement here in Pennsylvania of a grassroots organization that is second to none. And quite honestly, people don't know what to make of it, but it's a movement of we the people, and that's really what it's all about. So first of all, before we get going, I want you to, again, call in at 888-329-3306 if you're so inclined. The first topic I want to talk about today, before I get into this, some stuff, is extremism. And it's interesting how we've gotten to this point in our country where we can no longer have a civil discussion about things. In life, not everything is black and white, and yet now we've got to the point in our politics where everything has to be absolute, and that's just not what it is. And so when you're looking at the extremities of positions, it makes for a hostile environment. We see that constantly. You know, things turn violent, people get nasty, and so I guess I would like, you know, if anybody wants to call in, I would like to get your opinion on where did it turn. I've got my opinion. I believe that the country turned when Barack Obama became president. And the reason I say that is because I believe that when he became president, he had an opportunity to bring the country together. Being the first African-American president, I really think he had an opportunity to do that. And instead of doing that, he took us to an extremism. And what I mean by that is he himself played the race card, and he vilified the police. He made out everything to be of a racial nature. And I personally do not believe that this country is inherently racist. I mean, yeah, there's racist people. I mean, there's always going to be people that are on the fringes. I mean, you know, they're going to either be, you know, homophobes or bigots or whatever the case. Look, you can't judge everybody by the actions of a few, but unfortunately we do that, and that's a shame. But to me, I think that's where it started, because people resented the fact that they were always blaming the police. And I'm saying they would blame the police because they would say that everything they did was based on somebody's race. And I just don't think that's true. I just don't think that sometimes people are just bad people. The bottom line is sometimes people are just bad people. They either shouldn't be in the job or they have a bad temper or whatever the case may be. But it's not all about race. And I believe that that's where the extremism started, because, you know, when you start going down that path, then other people start resenting it because then they're called a racist and so forth and so on. Then they resent it and then they get angry and, you know, and then it just snowballs. And the next thing you know, we have these movements to defund the police. And we have a summer of burning and looting cities and destroying storefronts and burning police cars. And, you know, and if you choose to accept the explanation of the leaders of the BLM movement that they are a peaceful movement, then, you know, you have to condemn the actions of a few that make those people, you know, that cause the destruction and the violence. And so if you're going to take that, and then let's fast forward that situation to January 6th, where you had approximately 750,000 people down there in the Capitol looking to, you know, exercise their First Amendment rights and peacefully protest what they believe was a stolen election. And they have the right to do that as guaranteed under our Constitution. Not only can they go and protest peacefully, but they also have the right to address their grievances to their government. I mean, that's guaranteed in Article 1 in the Constitution. But yet, the people on the left now want to paint all those people as violent and insurrectionists on the actions of a few. And again, I know the numbers, 700, 800 people. Some people say it's not a few, but if you put it in correlation to the crowd size, it's a few. So again, why can you, as a liberal, a leftist, paint those people with a broad brush, but you're not allowed to use the same brush to paint the people in the marching in the cities in the summer of 2020? Look, the bottom line is this: there's always going to be people that are bad, and there's going to be people that are going to latch into a movement, and they're going to cause, you know, destruction. They're going to cause thing. But you cannot put the moniker of the whole on the actions of a few. And so, like, when they use this word insurrection, and that's to try to make it like it, you know, that this was an attempt to overthrow the government. You know, anybody with any common sense knows that wasn't going to happen, you know. And that's not to say that it couldn't have been worse, because obviously most of those people down there on January 6th were Second Amendment supporters. So, you know, there was very few weapons of, you know, firearms confiscated. I think the total last I saw was three, and I think two of those were in people's cars. It could have been more now, but I just remember that number in the very beginning. And at that point, the FBI had said they hadn't confiscated any. So, but what has come of that is you have some people that have been incarcerated over the January 6th thing that have been denied their due process rights. And so to me, and this just goes on to this constant attack, you know, to the point now where last week President Trump's home gets raided in Mar-a-Lago by the FBI. And that should scare all Americans. You know, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, because if they can weaponize the justice system, the Department of Justice, and use the FBI as their thugs, you know, and I'm not blaming the agents. Hey, they get their orders. They do what they're supposed to do. I mean, that's just the way it is. But when you got the hierarchy of the FBI, who all of a sudden decides they're gonna you know, be the enforcement arm of the federal government, and, you know, to perform political retribution, I'd say that's a problem. And I think that people have to start realizing that that is definitely a problem. you know. So I would just hope that no matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you will take notice of what's going on. I mean, this is what, you know, this is McCarthyism, but taken to another level. And eventually it took a few brave people of the Republican Party to stand up to Joe McCarthy. And I think it's going to take a few brave people in the Democratic Party to start standing up to this, what I call the crushing of the individual rights and freedoms of the American public. It's a sad state of affairs if this keeps going. And so, you know, again, if you want to call in at 888-329-3306 and give me your opinion on extremism and where you think it started, where it's at and where it's going, that would be great. So, you know, now, where is it going? That's the question. Okay, and the reason I say that is because is somebody going to step up and stop it? Is somebody going to say enough is enough? I look at somebody like Joe Manchin, who has tried to stand up. And, of course, he gets beat up by his party. And then eventually he just succumbs. And so it takes a lot. It beats you down. It, like, destroys your morale. I just don't know what the climate right now in the country is, if it's going to allow a more swing back to individual rights and freedoms and to an understanding of what the Constitution is and what the Constitution stands for. Can people of the newer generation appreciate the sacrifices that have been made over the 240 plus years that the country has been around to just basically, you know, appreciate what they had? And are they going to just let it go for the sake of, you know, being right, if in their mind anyway, you know? So when you start eroding your freedoms, when you start, you know, allowing things to just slowly be chipped away, that they no longer matter. I mean, to me, that's an issue. And, you know, I don't know if I have the answer, but I think that when you have a candidate like Senator Mastriano, who is willing to stand up and just say what he believes, and not succumb to the political pressure to soften his stance on say, for example, on speaking about God from the campaign trail, or soften his stance on abortion, or soften his stance on the Second Amendment. You know, you get these people that they don't want to offend any. Well, it's not an offense. You shouldn't be offended because you want to defend life. You shouldn't be offended because a candidate believes in what the Constitution says about individual rights and freedoms. You have a candidate right now running for governor who is the attorney general of this state, who not only sued the Little Sisters of the Poor twice, but was one of the enforcers of when they would not allow you to go to church during COVID, and he was sending the state police into the parking lots to write down people's license plate numbers because they were in church in defiance of the governor's order. This harkens to the days of Russia, China, Nazi Germany, fascist Italy during World War II. You know, you have to learn a little bit from history, you know. So we have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring her on. She calls the show quite a bit, and I always welcome her phone calls. Pauline, you're on the air.
Hi, Don. How you doing today?
Good.
I look at extremism from two different points of view. There's extremism in our society, and there's extremism in our government. And I believe that in the government, the extremism started with Hoover and the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover was a very manipulative person, a very nasty person. He hated the Kennedys. He hated Dr. Martin Luther King. And I do believe everything I've read that he was actually behind the assassination of definitely Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, but it may even have been with John Kennedy as well. Several presidents back from Eisenhower, Truman, Kennedy, you know, they wanted to fire Hoover.
Right.
They never had the nerve. They were afraid of him.
Well, from what I understand, Pauline, I believe you're right. He had files on everybody. Like he had information on everybody. That's why nobody was ever willing to either fire him or cross him.
Exactly. So now he's the one who, there was a different organization. I forget how it was called before, but he was the head of that, and then that evolved into the FBI. He was in power for 48 years.
Right.
Hoover. He was a dictator. And that he was an extreme person. So now what you have now is, you know, Trump at least had the backbone to fire FBI people.
Right.
And everybody criticized him for it. But look what happens. Look what's happening. And I think part of this, the invasion of his Mar-a-Lago home is partially payback for that. I really do. And it just seems to me that now with this Inflation Reduction Act, they're
yes.
weaponizing IRS, 87,000 IRS agents that are going to be new, and they're going to can use lethal force on people. Are you kidding me? That's extreme.
Well,
wait, real quick, they're not going to go after the rich people.
Right.
They're going to go over the middle class. That's who they're going after. There are going to be more than 700,000 audits above what they usually have.
So let me ask you this question, because obviously you've given this some thought. So I think you're going probably down the same line that I was just talking about. Is that we now have a government that is weaponizing the Department of Justice and the FBI to go after political enemies, you know, or people that don't agree with their philosophy. In other words, they're using the strong arm of the government to silence the opposition.
Yes, I do agree with that.
Right.
That's exactly what they're doing.
And on a personal note, that is something that you yourself have experienced. I know you're very vocal at some commissioners' meetings and stuff like that. And you know, they have tried to silence you in many ways.
And they still do try. And they, you know, so even yesterday morning, you know, when I'm speaking truth and they don't like it, they keep telling me, you're not allowed to say that. Well, yeah, I am allowed. I know that Sunshine Act inside out. I've actually printed it out in big letters, the portions that apply, and I hold it up, and I've been teaching them, and they still don't get it. They are, you know, what we need is, or real quick, an aside, Pennsbury School District.
Right.
The parents sued the school board and won. And what they were suing them was for the fact that the board would shut people up. They would shout them down. They would turn off the mic. And that's exactly what happens at the commissioners' meetings. And also at the North Penn School District school board meetings. So, and I've been attending those as well. So, it's happening. I want to get the lawyer from the Pennsbury School District, the lawyer that sued them, to come here and sue the North Penn School District.
Well, the interesting thing is that right now, for example, we have in Bucks County, somebody is suing for a right to know request. And the county commissioners have countersued to stop them from getting the information. And
wow.
This is all over emails that deals, I believe, with the election integrity issue between the county commissioners and some election officials. And they want to see the emails. And so they filed a right to know request, and the county commissioners got attorneys involved and they're fighting the right to know request because they said it doesn't fall under their purview or something like that. So again, this is happening all over. You know, it's not just you know, what happened to Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. We saw it after January 6th when they sent the FBI out and they went out of their way to just go and arrest people, you know, even if they didn't do any acts of violence or destroy any property, if they just happened to be on the grounds. And, you know, so when you weaponize an enforcement arm of the federal government against its citizens, this harkens back to, you know, pre-World War II, whether it would be Nazi Germany or in Italy or in Stalin's Russia. You know, this is where we're devolving to, and it's a real problem that I think that, again, as I said, the only way that Joe McCarthy was stopped is that some brave Republicans of his own party stood up to stop him, and I think the only way this is going to stop is if some brave Democrats, if there is such an animal anymore, are going to be willing to step up and say, hey, enough is enough, you know, so...
I hate to break this to you. Pauline, it's Stan Casascio. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Stan.
I just walked in we have an attorney here who represents a couple people from January 6th and tell you stories. Little old ladies getting arrested. But just to let you know that the whole concept of what's going on with the government, I just want to say, Joe McCarthy, there's an interesting book out that I read about Joe McCarthy. And the interesting thing is he was absolutely 100% right that there were huge number of people. Stalin had infiltrated all the agencies in the United States. And it's not that hard to do. And I think we're witnessing that in ways you cannot even imagine today when you think about the open borders and everything else. The other thing is, and I've talked to this to Andy and to other people, that liberal, progressive Democrats look at an issue and see it entirely different. And a perfect example of that is the election that occurred this past week with Liz Cheney. If you tuned into CNN, we just saw the destruction of democracy.
Right.
And yet, when you look at the numbers, more people voted in that primary election in Wyoming than ever did before. And the definition of democracy is people making choices and free choices and making decisions. There were nobody with guns or weapons or anything forcing people to vote. They came out and vote. So who is really showing democracy? The Democrats and the liberal progressives today just believe that if you disagree with them, you are hateful, you are racist, you are a terrorist. You are against democracy because they only see it in their vision and their light. And that's the scary part about it.
And Stan, that's right, because one of the things that the topic I started talking about today was extremism and how we got to extremism. And, you know, my opinion is that the current level of extremism started under the presidency of Barack Obama when he had a chance to bring the country together and he actually separated the country further. Now, Paul,
and that was by choice, by the way. That would listen. Just like the Inflation and Reduction Act really doesn't reduce inflation. If the Democrats pass a bill that says one thing, like shovel-ready jobs, it will not do that. It will make things worse.
Oh, well, we've heard the shovel-ready jobs excuse before.
See, the Democratic Party has a concept, especially the progressive liberals, because they're always virtue signaling. If they say it is, it is. We've taken care of that problem. They create a bill, and it takes care of that problem. Let's move to the next thing. And yet, everything they've ever touched, from public housing, you know, let's create housing for everybody. It turned out to be drug dens and criminal resource. They had to blow all these places up. You look at almost every concept that Democrat, progressive liberals have had, they have all been failures because they're not based in market conditions. They're not based in common sense. They're based in ideological feeling type of thing. And because I've often said progressive liberals, Democrats, I just think it's a mental disorder. I really do, because there's no common sense in any of this stuff.
So let me ask you this, Stan, because Pauline called up because I asked people to call in when they thought extremism started in the country. And she had an interesting take, and I found it interesting. So she believes that the extremism started with Herbert Hoover.
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI, and how he held the control over everybody, no matter what party it was, because he had a file on everybody. And therefore, that enabled him to stay as director for 48 years because nobody would fire him because they would be exposed. So Pauline's under the... Pauline's opinion is that the extremism started with him.
Well, extremism starts when you don't have term limits on anybody. Extremism
exactly.
starts when people are in power and continue to be in power, build up their own fiefdom, kind of like the kings and queens and the knights of ancient Europe, where they built their own little houses. And the same thing happened in India and China. You had your caste system and everything else. We just have a different name for it. So extremism starts when people think that they are the most important people in the world. And my father used to tell me, you know, if you think you're indispensable, you're in a lot of trouble. So all of our people, everybody, I don't care who the heck they are, there should be term limits on every one of our leaders because, as you know, power corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
And that's where extremism starts. Extremism started by the concept that people are in there for life. And the founding fathers, they really didn't think in terms of that because people died pretty young and they had to make long journeys and life was hard. And so they never thought in terms of how society would be today. And I think if they did, they would probably have put term limits in there.
And they probably didn't think their FBI director would dress up in dresses either. But, you know,
that's true,
let
too.
Let me interrupt.
Or Pennsylvania Secretary of Health.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead, Paul.
But what Stan just described is J. Edgar Hoover.
Exactly right.
There was no stopping him.
That's exactly right.
And he had his army. That's what he used. He had the FBI agents were his army.
That's why I thought your point was right on, because actually you're bringing, we see that happening right now, the weaponization of the FBI and the Department of Justice, not only against everyday citizens, as we saw with the January 6th, but now with former presidents just raiding his home.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you for calling in, Pauline. As always,
You're
it
welcome.
Was a pleasure, and thanks for jumping into the conversation.
By the way, let me ask you this. How is that great photographer daughter of yours doing? She is absolutely unbelievable.
She's doing well. Actually, we went up to New York on Wednesday. We're going back next Thursday, and one musician actually asked her specifically on Thursday to take pictures that he wants to put in his new video.
Oh, wow.
So it's like artist helping artist.
Well, you know, she is the only one to make me look good in a picture. So she's on the top of my list.
I want to get that lens.
She got all of your hair in, Stan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Pauline.
We'll hire her again.
Okay. We will. Thank you. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, I'm going to give you Senator Mastriano's schedule for the week. He's on a mini bus tour here in the Southeast, and then we'll continue this discussion.
And we brought Andy in.
And we brought Andy Tiedemann. So I'm going to ask him about how things are going with his battle with the DOJ and his poor people that are stuck in jail down there. So I'm Don Beischel Jr. here on the Conservative Voice, and we'll be back after this short message.
Hi, this is Don from the Conservative Voice. Are you looking for new business cards? Need new menus for your restaurant? Signs old and outdated? Employees need new shirts? Cars, trucks, and vans need new signage? Look no further than Mann Custom Wear. Located at 2250 State Road in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, Mann Custom Wear can fill all those needs and much more. At Mann Custom Wear, the owner, Mark, takes great pride in providing his customers with a superior product that is sure to catch the eye of potential customers and wow your existing clients. So if you're looking for a change, if you're looking to increase business and visibility, reach out to Mark at Mann Custom Wear. He can be reached at 215-651-8932, by email at markcolt45@hotmail.com, or on the web at www.mancustomwear.com. Mann Custom Wear, your one-stop shop for all your design and printing needs.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here.
And welcome back to the Conservative Voice. I'm Don Beisel Jr. here with Stan Casaccio and Andy Teitelman. And look, I even said Stan's name right.
Do you like the T-shirt I got you?
I do like the T-shirt.
Huh? I want you to wear it. I got Stan's, extra, extra large.
It doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be read. Mm-hmm. I like that. We the people. So.
Yeah.
So I want to give everybody, if you got your pens out, get your pens out. I gave you a chance, okay? So I know you've all been crying that Senator Mastriano has not been here in the Southeast. Well, we threw together a mini bus tour for you guys. So Monday, August 22nd in Lebanon County at 2 p.m., he will be at the Country Fair Restaurant, 498 East Lincoln Avenue, Myerstown, Pennsylvania. And then we have a rally that evening. The VIP portion of the rally starts at 4:30, and then the general public is at 5:30, and that's at Berks County, and that's at the Leesport Farmers Market, 312 Durant, and I'm going to spell because I don't know if I'm saying it right, G-E-R-A-N-T-S Church Road in Leesport, Pennsylvania. And then Tuesday, August 23rd at 10 a.m. in Carbon County, he will be at the Uncommon Grounds at the Mill. It is a coffee shop, so that's why the name. 500 Bridge Street, Weesport, Weissportpa. And then at noon, he will be in Northampton County at the Farm and Table Restaurant, 119 South Main Street, Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Then at 2:30 p.m. in Lehigh County, he will be at McCungey Memorial Park Hall, 50 Poplar Street, McCungey, Pennsylvania. 6 p.m. that evening in Montgomery County, he will be at the Indian Valley Country Club. That is a fundraiser, so if you want to attend, it's going to cost you a little bit of dollars.
What's the date of that?
That is Tuesday, August 23rd in Telford, PA. It's a private fundraiser. The link, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see the thing, and you can sign up. Write a check and make him the next governor of Pennsylvania.
When's he coming to my house?
I don't know, Stan. And then Wednesday, August 24th, again in Montgomery County. This is at Joran Roofing, and that is the campaign headquarters for Western Montgomery County, 560 Seminary Street, Pennsburg, PA. And Eric Joran has actually donated the building to us to use as a campaign headquarters. So we're giving him a stop there to have the senator come. And then in 1 p.m. on Wednesday the 24th, we will be in Delaware County at Gatsby's Bar and Grill, 4936 Pennell Road in Aston, PA.
Great place.
Yes. And then finally, wrapping it up, because believe it or not, on Thursday he has to go back to the Senate. So not only is he running for governor, but he still got a job as a senator. But Wednesday evening, another rally in Lancaster County, same deal, 4:30 p.m. is the VIP reception, 5:30 p.m. it starts with the public at a place called the Star Barn, 1 Hollinger Lane in Elizabethtown, PA. So for all you people complaining he hasn't been to the Southeast, he's here. So if you want to see him, get your butts out of your chair and go see him. So, Mr. Teitelman.
Yes, sir.
How goes the battle for the great patriots that you're representing?
There are still too many people sitting in jail without bail, without having had a trial, and unfortunately, almost everybody has taken a guilty plea in order to get back to what's left of their lives, the ones that have gone up to court. Fortunately, I have no current clients who are left inside this the cement mixer that is our justice system, at least for this particular problem.
Gulag, I think, would be a good...
Gulag is a great idea. That's how they describe the D.C. jail and the way and the conditions these people have been kept in. And remember, I think we're still considered innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and we're supposed to be eligible for bail. And this really was glorified trespass in the worst instance.
Right.
We can joke about it all day long, but it's nauseatingly frightening as to what's happening in the country. And if you weren't convinced by January 6th and the way those people were treated, look at what just happened at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Anybody can be invaded, and the FBI is being used as a weapon, and now the IRS is being geared up to be a military force in its own right.
They're even weaponizing these new IRS agents.
I don't know if you saw, in keeping what Andy's talking about, I don't know if you saw Tucker Carlson's show. I forget what day it was. But he went through a litany of FBI stories that were really scary. So it starts with the Whitmer kidnapping plot, which there is court testimony and swearing and everything else and sworn statements there and cross-examination. And it turns out that the people that were supposedly accused had nothing. They didn't even want to do it. All of it was led by the FBI and by this particular, I forget the name of the FBI person, but Tucker, if you watch his show, if you see a history of his show, it's this past week, he names the FBI agent. That FBI agent was in charge of that. He was since transferred after that incident, in which basically he should be in jail himself for falsifying everything that went on. And you have to hear some of the testimony that Tucker went through. It's really scary. But he wound up being the head of the FBI district office in Washington, D.C., and he is in charge of the investigation of January 6th. Now, here's someone who constructed this kidnapping plot of Whitmer, who's now in charge of the FBI office and was investigating January 6th. He's also in the past has, in some of his media correspondence, had lambasted Trump, so he's not a Trump guy for sure. Guess what? The agents that raided the home, according to Tucker Carlson, were his agents. So the agents that raided the house were from Washington, D.C., led
right.
by this guy.
Right.
Now, if you're any kind of, you know, thinking liberal Democrat who is, so it's kind of like Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz is a liberal. He will tell you he's a liberal. He's a liberal Democrat, has always been a liberal Democrat. But here's a man who truly follows his ethical bent. And even he is disgusted with what happened. And when you draw the conclusions of all these things, every person that's been involved with Trump, helping him get elected, running his campaign, running his offices down in Washington when he was president, they've all been arrested. Either the attorney's phones have been taken. All of this thing, just think about that. Now, this pales. I mean, the Joe McCarthy era, in which I said last half hour, it turns out that Joe McCarthy was right about everything. It's just that he was a little bit off on the wild track a little bit, but the media was also against him. That pales in comparison to this incident that happened. That pales, the Nixon Watergate pales when you think about this. And I tell you what, if you're an American that is fair-minded and concerned about justice, you should be scared to death of what a government can do to you. And you're going to have 87,000 more people. They do Norquist estimated, who's a tax guy, estimated that 87,000 agents, IRS agents, can do close to 2 million audits. And we all know that there isn't 2 million publicly held big companies where they're going to pull all the money, because most of that stuff are public and everything's out in front. And how many billionaires do we have in this country? Not 2 million. So that means they're coming for you, and they're going to come and they're going to make you, you know, put you through hell, go through these things. You got to print out documents. You got to get your accountant. You might even have to get a lawyer. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars. And then when you prove you're right, guess what? They said, oh, see you later. You don't get any recompensation at all. So this is what we're faced with. Be scared to death. Liberalism is the death of this country.
No doubt. And this is Stalin would be proud of the opposition program the Democrats are running, because this is exactly what happens when totalitarianism comes into what was once a democratic society. People don't remember that prior to World War II, Germany, well, after World War I and before, it was an industrial nation that was going through financial difficulties, and they welcomed with open arms the totalitarian.
Yeah, they actually
takeover.
Passed an Inflation Reduction Act also in early Germany during the Meinhard
Everything's backwards. Everything is backwards. We are in deep trouble. And Michael Hayden, who was a general and also a former director of the CIA, I recently heard a quote of his read on the radio, and I forget which program it was, but he basically describes Republicans, conservatives, as being the biggest problem this country has ever faced in terms of insurgency. So over 50% of our country, or somewhere around 50% of our country, are now political enemies, and we don't have the right kind of democracy.
Well, you know, if Stan brought it up, which I thought was interesting, is they brought these agents down from Washington to do this raid instead of using the local agents from Florida to do the raid. And then, of course, Governor DeSantis, who Senator Mastriano is with today, by the way.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You ought to hear what they're saying about that. They have there's a rabbi from Florida who's the head of the Democrat Jewish Society down there, and he just called DeSantis a criminal, a racist, and everything else. But I want people to think about this. If you are conservative or you're a common sense person, I don't care who you are, and somebody starts claiming that, would you ask him to give you an example of how Doug Mastriano was a racist? What did he do that was racist? What did he do that was wrong? They will not give you an answer at all. It's just that they are using these terms, but you ask him to give you an example. Now, I can give you plenty of examples of the Democrats with the signs, "No Hate Lives Here," how hate really does live there, and these people are that way.
Well, so the whole thing that—
Aren't you glad I showed up with Andy today?
I am, because, you know, think about this. They
get thrown off the air.
Not only did the FBI raid President Trump's house, but they didn't even inform Governor DeSantis that this raid was happening, which is standard protocol. And so—
Yeah, but that was because they wanted to get into Melania's underwear. Oh, come on. That's what it was really
about.
That's
a Sopranos episode with Paulie. But Eddie, yeah.
They won't even give him back the box underwear that they took. Are you kidding me? Those agents are probably wearing them.
I heard there were missing shoes, too. There's no proof on that.
Okay. Oh, God. You know, you brought up the thing about them calling.
Oh, they're here. How do I?
You brought up about the.
It's a joke, people. Please remind. It's a joke.
About Senator Mastriano being called a anti-Semite and stuff like that. And this is all over. I could tell you, it's all over him paying $5,000 to Gab for consulting services. And it's because the guy that owns Gab has made some pretty outrageous comments, and there's no doubt about that. But you can't – the company is different than the owner. It's the same thing that the left tried to do with Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. The owner is entitled to his opinion, but that opinion doesn't flow down to the company. You know, so they tried to say, because I think it was the owner of Chick-fil-A supports Christian groups.
He's pro-life.
Yeah. And so he said, we hire people that are gay and all this stuff like that. We're not against our company. This is just his personal views. You're allowed to have, in this country, you're allowed to have a personal view, and it doesn't translate to your company.
Well, we used to be allowed. Now you can't. If you don't go with the mainstream media and what they're telling you to think and what they're telling you to say, you're going to be canceled. You're going to be destroyed. So, Stan, you made a great point. You can't pick out anything about Doug Mastriano that he actually did
or said
that can be used against him. It's all hyperbole and other people putting labels out there, and that is what's destroying our country, and it's destroying the Republican Party because we don't stand up to it.
Now,
we
cave in. I will give you a perfect example of how religious freedom was attacked by Josh Shapiro. There is actually an example. He sued the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Twice.
Even after they won in the Supreme Court, he sued them again because they, in their religious beliefs, they are opposed to any form of birth control, and they didn't supply insurance for that part of their employees who, by the way, understood they were coming to a deeply religious organization.
Right.
All right? But he sued them anyhow. And he sued them for the religious belief. That's what it was all about. And that is definitely a sign of anti-religion.
Well, let's take it.
So there's an actual example of Josh Shapiro. And Josh Shapiro calls us radicals? Give me a break.
I have another one for you, though.
Oh, by the way, we have a game next hour.
Okay. I have another one for you, though.
You're going to love this game. Hang around.
Because as Attorney General, Josh Shapiro was the one that sent the state police in the church parking lots to write down people's license plate numbers because they were in the churches while they were because of COVID, the churches were supposed to close, and some pastors decided not to. Well, the state police were in the parking lots writing down people's license plate numbers.
Yeah. So that was an attack. And by the way, just to bring you up to date, the CDC has said the 6-foot thing is completely stupid. We should have never did it.
As were the masks.
As were the masks.
And the vaccines don't work.
And the vaccines. And of course, there was an article recently about maybe well over 10,000 people have died from the COVID jab. We're not going to call it a vaccine because it doesn't stop
anything.
It doesn't stop anything. You can ask Biden about that and Jill about that because they've been vaxxed, triple vaxxed, and everything else. As a matter of fact,
you get enough vaccinations, you get a punch card, and you get a free donut.
at Starbucks. Oh, by the way, I mean that might be. I looked at Biden signing. I don't know if anybody. You must go and see this. Biden signing the Inflation Reduction Act. It is the most scariest thing I ever saw, that this man did not know where he was.
Stan, I got a question for you, though.
Don't make it too hard.
Why do you have to sign an Inflation Reduction Act if inflation is at zero?
Yeah, That's a very good point.
We want negative inflation.
Okay. I wasn't sure because last week, remember, he made the comment that inflation was at zero?
For the month over the prior month when it didn't go up as much as it did the month before that. And he gets 5 points of credit just because he survived as long as a president.
And not only that, take credit for the fact that your gas came down 30 cents a gallon, even though it went up over $2 and something a gallon. Hey.
You want to know something? I paid $4.05 a gallon today, and I felt like I got a bargain. I'm pinching myself. Scary.
Don't you feel just so enthused?
Yeah. I got to tell you. Wait. Would this really happen?
Go get him.
This happened this weekend. So we came in. I have a small boat, do a lot of water skiing stuff since I've been 12 years old. So I come in. I've got some friends on the other dock. They have bigger boats. And they went out fishing, and they had caught a lot of tuna. There had to be 11, 12 tuna, big tuna.
Did they catch Charlie?
They're cutting. I don't know. There wasn't any name on it. So anyhow, so I asked, I said, Dave, I said, how much do you think it cost you per fish? And he had calculated it out. He said it was probably $383 per fish.
That's a big boat.
Because of the gas and everything else that he took. And that's not counting the man hours going out at 4 o'clock in the morning to the canyons and then driving back again. $383 a fish. I said, why cut them up?
They're going to have to put a can of Starkist behind a glass with a lock.
I have one question. Were they dolphin safe tuna?
Yeah. Ask the attendant for the starfish tuna. But
can I have the key for the tuna fish locker, please? I'd like to buy a can of tuna.
Now, the Democrat with the rope wants to know if they were dolphin safe.
Oh, yeah, so glad I showed up today. Even my producers are laughing in the back over there. They're like cheering me on. So
I sit there and
are they here yet, JD?
Not yet.
No, you can't get in. You can't get in downstairs without a key card.
You need a key card to get in.
Well, yeah, that poor homeless guy. He's made us all have to walk an extra 10 feet now.
Oh God.
I don't understand any of it. But I sit there and I was speaking at a Republican meeting last night for the campaign, and we were talking about inflation. And I said, when it hit home for me, I went to buy a loaf of bread. Last year at this time, or when Trump was still president, a loaf of Stroman bread was $2.29 a loaf. Now it's like $3.49 a loaf.
And that's, you get two less slices.
And you probably get two less slices. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know,
it's the ends.
You know, you just don't think.
You get more ends
you don't,
in there.
You don't think about it, but it, when you have something just that staple, you know, everybody has to eat bread, okay? And yet, you know, a dollar something plus more per loaf. And you're and if you're on a fixed income, you know, that dollar something can make a difference.
Yeah, of course, gas usage is down. That's because
nobody
can
afford to
drive. That's why the price came down. It's not production.
Yeah, it's supply and demand. So it just goes to show you the market there. Oh, I wanted to ask you something. I was going to do this in the next half hour, but this is what's very important. I don't know if any of you saw this the other day, Thursday. There was a huge galactic storm that slammed us on Thursday. I don't know if anybody noticed the sun. You know,
the sunspots. No.
The sun blew up. You know, one of those magnetic
solar flares or whatever.
Flare, yeah, yeah. And it was a gigantic one, and it hit us yesterday. I don't know if you noticed that.
I felt it.
Did you feel it?
Absolutely. My magnets all jumped.
Yeah. My feet were tingling yesterday. You know, and my golf balls were going farther. You know?
Sure it was golf balls?
Well, maybe it wasn't.
Okay,
it was something
just
else.
Be clear.
Anyhow, so I don't know. Did you see that?
No, I did not see it.
I just wanted to let you know that happened yesterday.
Okay.
Just in case.
For some reason, I thought there was a joke coming, but, you know, because I know Stan, but I guess this
No, this is a true story. It's just amazing.
Are you becoming Mr. Science for me now?
I am becoming Mr. Science.
Yes. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yes. Anyhow, so, you know, one of the things that people have to understand, the difference between Josh and I've known Josh since he's been about 18 years old. I mean, he's always been a politician, and we'll talk about it a little next half hour. But Josh was born to a pretty wealthy family. And what I love about these virtue signaling Democrats is they always make you think that they can feel your pain because they've been there. In many cases, they've never been there. And if you look at the millionaires and billionaires in Congress, they're not Republicans. They're all Democrats today.
Well, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this last night. So you know how John Fetterman comes across as this
Yeah. He was supported
guy?
By his mom yeah. and dad till he was 46
He's a
years
trust
still
fund.
Is. No,
He's,
he still is. Yeah. They bought him in the warehouse yeah. he lives in.
He's a trust fund baby. He went to Harvard.
He's a bright guy.
He didn't have a job until he was 40 years old. Because
46.
He was 46. Mayor. He was getting money from his parents constantly. And yet he comes across as this you know, everyday person, you know.
He's the perfect example.
Looks more like a thug to me. Did you hear that speech he gave in Erie?
Oh,
the slurring speech?
Did you understand a word of it? He made Biden look erudite.
Yeah. Wow, that's a big word.
That's a big word.
It is. It's got six letters.
I want to hear Fetterman say that one.
That's like
forget about it.
That's like the word kudete.
All right. there's the whole problem with our candidate, unfortunately. He's not identifying. You know, look, I was never an Oz fan coming up, but we all have got to get behind him now. And look at this guy, Fetterman. I mean, look at the two of them together.
Fetterman
Oz is an intelligent person.
Fetterman is a communist. He is an He is definitely Engels and Marx were from very wealthy families, and they became socialists. Lenin was from a pretty wealthy family, mm-hmm. too. Stalin, not so much. He was just always a thug. And he fits the perfect mold. You know, it's like nothing really touches them. They think, you know, they feel for you, but they really don't feel for you.
Well, they cause the pain. Right. They don't feel it.
Well, the one thing that we were talking about last night, because a lot of people had a question about Senator Mastriano's stance on abortion. And one of the things we were talking about is that, you know, he said he doesn't give any reason for exceptions, rape, incest, or life of the mother. And I said, yeah, but you guys need to understand something. I said, that's his personal opinion. And the governor is allowed to have his personal opinion. And he will not legislate, make law from the executive branch, unlike King Thomas Wolfe I and his little minion, little Josh.
In fact, he said that if the legislature passed a bill,
yes,
and
it saves more lives, and
he will sign it. He's not going to. I mean, just like you said, it's a personal opinion is personal opinion, but he understands it's a legislative process more than anybody because he put his life on the line for this country when he was in the military.
Well, the Supreme Court said it when they ruled on it. They said the decisions now is back where it belongs in the hands of the people,
and that's democracy.
So if you have a concern about abortion, then pay attention to the folks you elect to your state Senate and state House seat. because they will be the ones that will craft the legislation that gets sent to the governor to sign. The governor does not make law. I know we're used to what Tom Wolf did and his little minion Josh doing COVID, but that's not how
Secretary
it works.
Secretary of State.
Okay, and the Secretary of State. That's not how it works. And so a governor, anybody, a president, is entitled to their personal opinion. But that doesn't mean that that's the laws that they're going to pass. It's just their personal opinion. And so the guy said to me, well, you guys ought to say that more. And I said, we are. We're saying it all the time.
You can't get the media to cover it, though. I mean, alternative media like this show, like some of the other things we see on the internet, sure. But we're preaching to our own choir.
Yes.
And we're not getting through to the masses.
You know who told me I was an alternative?
Who?
My wife, Diane.
Who was the other alternative? I'd like to know.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. Well, she wanted somebody that could that was at least equal to her on the golf course, and that's obviously not Stan.
It's not bad.
So anyhow, look, this show's almost over, but I hope you can hang around for a little bit of the next show.
Well, sure. You said we have a game to play. So,
I want you to be involved in the game. We got to keep this going. It's way too much fun.
Absolutely.
Our producer's having a blast over there. He's smiling all day long. He's cheering us on.
And
he's got his eye out for the FBI.
He hasn't had the beep stand out once today.
Well, you've been cursing recently?
No, he's been being good.
I definitely don't do that because there's always other alternative languages you can use.
Right. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to hang around for the next hour for the Don't Back Down show.
Oh, my God. I got jokes. And, I got everything going on.
And hopefully next week, Senator Mastriano will be able to be back on, of course, unless he's with President
Don,
Trump.
Don, they definitely want to stop by next show because I am going to tell you who Justin Trudeau's parents were.
Oh, I'm interested to
you
find
gotta
out.
You got to know what this
I
is.
I got to know this.
You
okay.
want to know who this is.
So thank
get your cigars.
Yep.
Get your cigars.
So thank you for listening to the Conservative Voice, and we'll see you next week.